All right, I'd like to welcome everybody. We've already called our meeting to order, so first of all, thank you, Mrs. Wells, for hosting our meeting this month, and we will begin with our Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Let's see, I would entertain a motion to adopt our agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Pleasant and second by Mrs. Powers. Roll call.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next up, we have a presentation from Northwood Elementary.
I'm sure he's saying good luck.
That's right.
No, he's in Michigan. He didn't even Welcome. I was telling Diane before I came in here that this is my 14th year in the district, and this is the first time I've had the pleasant opportunity to present in front of the board. So
that's exciting.
My presentation really today is just, it's called Our Piece of the Puzzle, and it's looking at the strategic plan and what Northwood is doing working towards those goals.
Bless you.
Those are, of course, the goals: student performance, financial stability, maintaining a self-learning environment, a safe learning environment, and developing community partnerships. So for the first one, goal one, the student learning ones, we have some different initiatives and activities going on at Northwood. We have the RAS Kids, which is a reading program that we have started district-wide. And so we have a little initiative going right now. Three of our grades have met their goal, and they're going to get ice cream parties start tomorrow for meeting their goal. They had to read so many minutes as a whole grade level. So the rocket has to do with RAS Kids and rockets. We have the Osmos for each of the rooms, and we're slowly building those up. That's a computer program that you hook an iPad to, and it really kind of has a mirror on top of it. So there's different, there's a math, there are math games on it. There are, this one's really just trying to look at geometric shapes and match it. There's also some letters and letter sounds, and so you then can play it with somebody else and kind of matching those up. And it's a mirror, and there's tiles that go with it, and they just hook it into it. So the kids absolutely love it, of course. The red and green list words that we're using K through 2, and also teaching phonics with our phonemic awareness books that we're using in K-1. And then our third and fourth graders are now taking monthly math tests through SchoolNet. We're trying to keep building up the rigor so they get used to taking assessments on the computers, getting ready for their OCBA tests, and also then helping us look at, okay, what do we still need to work on, where are we at, how far do we have to go, but really that rigor, that piece of really learning how to manipulate the computer, how to do drag and drops and the different things is really helping them. We also have using Success Maker, which we use for our ELA support program that was purchased this year for the school. Started out with our special ed population, but we have a number of regular ed students who are on it. They get on it for 30 minutes or 20 minutes a day for at least 3 days a week, and it has helped build their kind of their fluency and also some things with comprehension. So the kids really enjoyed the program too. So gets them reading some more. Using manipulatives, of course, in math, as well as number talks. That was from a kindergarten classroom, looking at different 11, 12, and how to make it look a little different there. We have reading specialists that work with our K through 2 students. We have our AmeriCorps volunteer who's working with our third grade students. And then we just are starting our academic support program who will work with fourth grade students and then go on down into third grade as well, and helping with math and reading, both supporting both of those. And then our inclusion teachers in third and fourth grade this year are trying to do some more inclusion, being in the classroom. Our fourth grade inclusion, our special ed teacher is in all the subjects, and then she pulls out for small groups for reading, but she's also pulling out regular ed students as she can to help support them as well. So she's doing more inclusion than we have in the past. We do a celebration of learning and we in fact had one today. So each month, 2 to 3 classrooms share what they've been learning over the past month. This week we had three classrooms, and they were showing some PowerPoints they've created and talked about different books maybe they've read, or do some poetry or poems that they maybe have written, and different things. So we invite parents and students to come and watch that. Our STEAM Day, we had December 16th, and each student went to 5 different sessions. We had some guest teachers. Chris Dice came over, Lynette Fott came over, Tom Powers, Ryan Fairman, they came and also taught some classes for us. Students just moved around the school. I know Sue came and watched the event, and students were engaged the whole day, and it kind of fit in to some fun activities. Hi, this is our kindergarten, and success really with the all day, every day. The first graph there shows that the winter kindergarten bass from last year for our red and blue group, we had at winter, which would have been February, 20% of the kids were below grade level, or what we were considering below grade level. And only really 11% were above. This year, right now, at the first trimester when we did a BASS, so that'd been November, we only had 7.8% students below. One of our teachers is a red-blue teacher last year and had been for 3 years, and she just can't believe the difference in the kids and knowing the routines and knowing what to go next and what to do next. So I think this shows, and we're excited to see what happens then in February when we do the test again.
Do you know, we had a couple of days that it was canceled. Have you heard any comments, or do you know how all day, every day, may have either benefited or changed the environment in the kindergarten classroom?
I think what happens is, the environment is so much different because they've known the routines. So even missing a couple days, you know, before when they were here, red, blue, and they missed a couple days, they may actually missed 4 or 5 days. It may not have just been that one day. They may have missed the whole week because of how the rotation worked. These students missed those 2 days. They came back, and they were ready. You know, it's just like when they come back from Christmas break. Mm-hmm. It's a learning process. You get them back into it, but you do for all the students how to get back into it. But they learn the routine. They know what they're doing. They have expectations. They're ready to move on. And I think they're just excited, you know, to be back most of the time. You know, they're just so.
See their friends.
Financial stability. Our kids went on a field trip thanks to our PTO, who's purchasing transportation for them. We got donations from Walmart and Myers to purchase some iPad minis. I've created a giving tree in our office. The parents, there's leaves there. They just pick up a leaf. It asks for things like batteries and, you know, it could be paper. It could be, like, we got more playground equipment. Mm-hmm. That way they donate things as they see and they want to. We have had our PTO help us purchase iPad minis, the Osmos, a reflector program, interactive projectors. We finally have everybody set with an interactive projector. Just all kinds of technology. And then they're also helping cover the cost of transportation for our field trips for our students. So that's kind of a new step for them this year. And then this over in the corner is our newscast that we have going on. We started this year, so the kids are presenting the news every day. Martha Holton Jennings grant, and received a little over $2,800. That was to buy Legos and created a Lego wall that's hanging out right up there. Bought some iPads and some materials to create the wall. And the kids, I'm not going to show the video because it was like 10 seconds and I'm not sure what happened to my iPad. But the kids, we can pull the wall down. It can go to their room. They work with the Legos, and we had then an in-service on Wednesday with the teachers. That's why you see the two teachers there back-to-back, because often people think, well, it's just a math kind of thing. So we did some language arts activities. Our reading coach said, I couldn't believe how much there is out there on Legos, like what you can do with it. So there's some real, you know, energy going to that. And the kids just, like, look at the wall and, like, oh, I love Legos. You know, they love playing with Legos. And so it has kind of a couple purposes there. So let's look at that. Next one is maintaining a safe learning environment. That's our third graders when they went downtown Marysville, took a tour. We're providing a safe and nurturing environment through programs such as Red Ribbon Week, Reading Buddies. We did visitors. We had Bear the drug dog here. We do our, of course, are conducting our safety drills, participation in the HOPE survey with our fourth graders. We started displaying student work through the art gallery, so we, if you would walk down this hall, you would see that we're starting to hang it, and it will stay there. We have a bunch in the office, and PTO is going to purchase some more frames for us, so we can just keep going around the building. And then we're doing some growth mindset activities with our staff to kind of lead that down into the students. Last one is developing community partnerships. Our PTO is great. They're many but mighty. There's not a big group of them, but they're willing to do anything. So they did a trunk or treat activity right before Halloween, which was fantastic. So we're going to expand it a little bit next year already. We were thinking about it. They do two art nights, a K-2 one and a 3-5, or 3-4, where they have parents come in and do artwork with the students. So we have the picture there, and somebody's walking them through how to do it, and parents and kids working together on creating the art. They did a pancake breakfast right before Christmas. They have a father-daughter dance coming up in February, so just among some of the things. We did a crazy hat day. And it was really an idea created by two students in fourth grade to raise money for Children's Hospital. So they collected money, and we collected, I think it was a little over $200 to donate to Children's Hospital. So we've had some other kids now. We're doing the Ronald McDonald's House. So that's all being spearheaded by students, and they wanting to be involved. We've worked with students from Creekview and from the Early College High School on design challenges. Creekview has come here and done some design challenges with our first graders. Our first graders have gone over there and done some design challenges with them and some activities. We have two students from Creekview come over once a week and work with kindergartners. And then we have three or four high school. We just got another student, high school students coming over and tutoring our kids too. So those are things they have going on. We had Scott's employees coming right before school started to clean up out front. We have tutors from our community working with our students. Some are retired teachers. Sometimes they're grandparents. If they come in and say they're interested, we find a way for them to be involved. Teresa Rockabaugh has been here several times. She bought journals for all the kids to kind of walk in the woods. It's all based on John and his work, and she has a book that he wrote about in his journal, so she's kind of teaching about nature. Also, she's going to come back and do some things on rocks and minerals for third grade. And then we've had Channel 6 newscaster coming. And so we have a lot of different people coming in to support our teachers and their students. And that's Northwood Elementary, and the T-shirts were courtesy of the PTO. They wanted a different color, so every year is a different color, and it's a little scary when you see the kindergartners, it says like 2027 on their back. I'm like, oh my God. But it has Northwood Elementary, and then on the back says class of. And so every kid gets one, and their hope is that, you know, they'll get it for a couple years, and then they buy a new one for them, but they keep that color until they're out of Northwood.
So, that's a great idea. Great idea.
Thank you.
I know. Questions, anybody?
How did you get Scott's to come and clean up for?
That one was arranged through Ruth Shortell, who's in one of our reading specialists, and she set it up with them. They had done the seeds program here prior. We did it at Creekview as well, and I think it kind of started with that. It was a different group though, because I had worked with some of the seeds group, so I knew some of the people there, but they came. We didn't, you know, they just said, what do you need us to do? And I mean, they cleaned up the whole, and it was a hot day. They brought stuff, they cooked out in the, you know, they grilled out and stuff, and just took advantage of the day. So it was very nice. So I'm hoping that we're just going to keep that up every year.
Are they still doing the seeds program?
No, that grant ran out. It was 3 years, and that grant is finished. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know why they didn't keep it going, but yeah.
Yeah.
More through the Smithsonian, it kind of stopped.
Okay, right.
So you talked a little bit about the kindergarten data and the shift there. What kind of shifts are you seeing with some of the literacy pieces that have been implemented? Specifically, you know, we're always talking about that K-2 range.
We have we've done a lot with the phonemic awareness this year. So kindergarten has a program that they're starting in the red and green lists that they're using for words that the green list kids work on, the red ones. Kind of hooking that with parents and having them be involved in it as well. I see this real, like, us really building up that kindergarten so that as they go up into first grade, second grade, you know, we're doing some of that this year in first grade, but with so much of the phonemic awareness and things that we're doing this year in kindergarten, first grade teachers won't have to do as much. Like, that those holes have been filled, and now we move on to the next. We're starting to do some fluency, reading fluency, with our second grade and our third grade, and that's through Steve and also Mark Gallagher, our psychologist, giving teachers some prompts on what they should do and how they, so that they can build up the fluency, because sometimes we see that's where the issue is, they, when they're reading, that it's so choppy, or that they can not, you know, they can, I don't know how they ever figure out what they've read, because it's just not a fluent reader at all. So we're working on some of those things too. So. It's a lot of change, a shift, but really all the teachers are on board and just taking off with it.
With those math tests that you're doing every month, it just made me think that we started with the tech aids this year. Mm-hmm. Do you think, has that really been helpful in that area, or is that kind of
what we have? They do not do the assessments, but what what we really found after our first third grade assessment is keyboarding skills. Because as you see a student trying to write an open response, and they have to type it in, you know, this, you only have so much time, and if you're hunting and pecking still and trying to figure out where some of the things are. So we've really pushed our tech aid to help with those keyboarding skills. Mm-hmm. How can you help them support that? The teachers even getting on to look at how to use the equation component of it, making that equation maker that's part of the assessment. Mm-hmm. So using some of those skills on how to do that. Mm-hmm. That's what we're using. Questions?
Thank you.
Okay. Looks good. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Next would be public participation, but I don't believe we have any. Double check. So we'll move on to
Did you want to
start? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
I got here a little bit late.
Okay.
But I would like to address the board.
Yeah, just at some, you'll need to sign. Yeah, you'll need to sign in.
You can do it after.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Ms. Devine. I will do that. I planned to get here a full 15 minutes before you started the regular session, but as you all know, life sometimes intervenes.
Right.
So I only made it just as you were already started. I've been coming to your meetings now for a year, trying to attend as many as I can. All of you, I think, know my face. In case you've forgotten my name is Bob Kroshevsky, and I was honored recently to be elected a Taylor Township trustee, taking office on January 1st of this year. And I just wanted to say to the school board that I'm the kind of person that when I get a new assignment, I am fully committed to it, and I delve deeply into it and try to give it my best efforts. I've done that throughout my entire career. And I think, as some of you know, I'm a research scientist by training and have worked for many companies, including Scott's and a few others in the general area, in a technical vein. I wanted to say to the board that in my studies, preparing to become a trustee, I ran across something in the Ohio Revised Code, and it's Ohio Revised Code 5.2214, which declares that every February 1st, is to be Ohio Townships Day. And township officers are encouraged to work with their local schools to discuss with the students the type of government that our townships have in the state and to go over the qualifications of someone who is involved in township government. I know it's short notice, but I do want to make my services available if Superintendent Mankins or any of your principals would wish to have me come in. Doesn't have to be February 1st, that's the official celebration day, but at any time I'd be happy to come in, give a short presentation to the students about what township government is, because I feel as a trustee now and a not young one anymore, it's my duty to try and get people of the younger generation involved obviously not elementary or middle school students, but high school students, more particularly, have them put the bug in the ear of their parents, who are probably middle age at worst, so that they might think about becoming the next generation of people to go into our township governments. They're not going to go away anytime soon, and we need good people. So I just wanted to address the board, express my offer to help you educate your students and, through them, their parents. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Really appreciate that.
And, Bob, if you fill that out, I'll make sure we get a hold of you.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of interesting because this year with the elections, it was the first time in several years, I think, that we had several contested races. And I can't tell you how many times I heard people say, what does a township trustee do? You know, so I think it's really appropriate that you would share some of your job responsibilities. So thank you very much. All right, superintendent's report.
All right, first of all, this is School Board Recognition Month. So if you didn't know that, I do this every January. So it's our opportunity. We have a little certificate for each one of you that I can hand out before or after. It's up to you, just honoring your commitment and leadership and dedication to our students and our community. Certainly we appreciate it, and I think we're pretty lucky here in Marysville to have the five of you supporting what we do here and helping guide the path for our kids and creating a good environment for our students and staff. So
thank you.
Behalf of the school district, thank you. And we have your little certificate here too, as well. I'd like to remind all of you also that if you're interested in going to the All Boards Banquet, Ohio High Point, I sent a reminder by email today, but you need to let Donna know. I believe it's February 3rd is the night, if you're available. And especially if you haven't been to High Point before to see what they offer. It's a unique experience. So just shoot Donna an email or call her.
By tomorrow, I believe.
By tomorrow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know I had mentioned it one other time, so if you are free. At this point, I don't think she has anyone down. So.
Yeah. And I know I can't make it, but I did. I have gone, I think, the past 2 years, and I highly encourage you to go if you haven't. Just like Diane said, it's really nice to see what goes on out there and listen to some of the people talk.
Yeah, and see the other partnerships they have with different school districts.
And be served a meal made by the students,
yes,
and served by the students.
Also, I sent you links to the school report card. Only a portion of that report card has been released, so there's not a ton of information in there. Mm-hmm. I know Sue had requested maybe a comparison to last year, so I will pull that and get it to you. Certainly we're pleased. Graduation rate was solid. If you looked into the elementary buildings, Navin and Edgewood did receive poor grades in that early literacy mark. Mm-hmm. We had seen evidence of that last year in our data meetings, and that's why we've put more resources in that building. We know those are two of our higher needs around special ed and socioeconomics. So we feel like we've already put a plan in place, and we are already seeing growth in those areas through the data meetings we're currently having. So, you don't want to see an F on a report card, but certainly we were pleased that we had seen that early on and had already started to make some changes headed into the school year for that. So as those sections continue to be released, we'll get those out. I think the other thing that prepared for success,
yeah,
I think, as you look at that, we've been doing a lot of work to increase AP courses, mm-hmm, increase students in AP courses. We now have more AP courses offered at the high school than ever, and more kids enrolled in AP courses than ever, and more kids enrolled in multiple AP courses than ever. So we've also increased our College Credit Plus offerings at the high school and adding the early college high school as well. So certainly some factors that are represented in there we've already started to change as well. Supposedly that section of the report card will receive a letter grade this year. It hasn't in previous years, and it does not have one so far. Mm-hmm. So as we have told you before, as the information continues to roll out, we'll talk about that. Remember, assessments are changing. I think that's important to know. So some of the assessments, mm-hmm, we're going to see are actually comparing results to a different test that's even offered. So we'll try to continue to put that out in front. And I know Jonathan worked on a release as well to the newspaper that articulated some of those things. We've used two calamity days, and our makeup days for those are already scheduled. So if you remember last year, we tried to switch and get days made up earlier. So the first two calamity days will be made up February 12th and March 11th. Any calamity days after tomorrow or mm-hmm. beyond will be we'll go five on that traditional missing 5 days before we start blizzard bags after those five. So we'll be making up on February 12th and March 11th. And that's all I have.
Can talk a little bit about the internet phone outage thing. I thought we had talked about that a little bit.
Yes, we did. As you know, boy, I don't have the date.
I think it was a Monday.
Weeks,
it was a Monday or a Tuesday.
It was just last month.
Yeah.
It seems like 3 months ago.
I know.
It was such a long period of
right,
time.
Yeah, right.
But certainly there, from my understanding, there was a weather incident that caused two DPNL poles to basically break, lowering our fiber line, at which time a truck driving through caught our fiber line and impacted, really everything north of 33 and 31, all mm-hmm. the way beyond Kenton, impacted over 30 Verizon cell towers. And put a crunch to the district for sure. Certainly, Chris and his team did an amazing job communication wise. I felt like we were on with communicating with parents and et cetera. Mm-hmm. Everyone jumped in to make sure that our schools had phones. That was one issue. The emergency lines always worked. However, their parents couldn't call a kid in sick or et cetera, so we had to make some accommodations there. And to be honest with you, that will be an expense, I think, that we will be sharing with the COG. It was a shared fiber. But it is an expense because it was not considered an accident that took the pull out. It was a weather occurrence. So mm-hmm. that will be a cost. And I'm not sure we've gotten a final figure in there. Initially, it was around $15,000 to $20,000 for the fiber, but I haven't received a final quote on that. But it did put us out of commission and made us learn how to communicate a little differently. So, mm-hmm.
And did you guys kind of have what did you learn from it as far as if it would happen again? Or like, let's say 2 weeks from now the same thing happens. Do we have things better in place or any different kinds of backup plans or...
Interesting, with cellular service and Verizon going down, even our backup, every school has a backup phone anyway, so we went and collected the other building backup phones and brought them, but they still didn't work because the cell service was out. Right. So we made accommodations for staff to be able to come to our office and look up information and emails. We put in a plan where all the phone calls were going to the high school, so those people were recording absences. Mm-hmm. So I think where we didn't have a plan, we had one within an hour, and now we have a plan in case that happens again. So we were pretty responsive. Automatically, some of the phones were already ringing to the high school, so they were recording them anyways, and it just made sense to keep that up or the board office. So.
Right. Good.
And another thing along those lines, and Chris Dice could fill you in a lot better than I could, but I think one of the goals of participating with the COG from his standpoint is creating redundant fiber lines so that if one line were to go down, we would still have service. So I think that kind of points to the benefit of our participation in the COG.
Right. And we've talked about redundancy we just haven't taken action yet. And the COG, so I think
this
we'll
might
all
speed
feel
things
like,
up a little bit.
Well, sure, that the fire department was impacted, so it certainly impacted several of us.
Right. Good. Okay. Great. Any questions? All right. Treasurer's report. Mm-hmm. That's good.
I won't need that.
Are you sure you want to send them out?
Yeah.
There he goes.
That'll change your history and mentality to a mathematical numbers. You become one of us. Probably not. Yeah. Here we are. Scientists that have all this knowledge and everything. Suddenly we go from 9 planets to 8. Now we're back to 9 again.
Did you see all those things happening around the system?
22,000 days. I thought it was years.
Good man, David. Oh, it's one heck out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Since we're in January now, we have 6 months of actual data, so we're at the mid-year point as far as looking at actual. So I just thought I would give kind of a quick mid-year review, and what we're going to be looking at is our expected number. Those are the numbers at the beginning of the fiscal year. That's what I had input as our expectations, and then our actual, obviously, is where we actually are. When we look at that difference, that's the difference compared to those first 6 months, not the difference that we expect at the end of the fiscal year. So just wanted to point that out. So, once we get the May 5-year forecast, we'll have our, where we're going to end in the year, but I'll try to kind of give some updates along those lines as well. So on the revenue side, we are pretty close to our projections. We're about 1% above where we expected to be. Really the only two areas that are significantly different, our real estate tax came in right in where we expected, and then we'll have our final settlement here in March, so then we'll really see where we ended up. But our foundation revenue, it's kind of misleading. Right now it shows that we're 4% higher, so it's showing $347,000 above projections, but that's really, that's only because we received a very large payment in October as kind of a catch-up payment because they ODE didn't have the enrollment in time and that kind of thing. So projecting out, I think we're technically going to end up a little bit below projection, but right now it looks to be about $150,000 below projections, but as with ODE, things can change frequently. There was already a big change in what we received in January, so just we'll stay tuned for that, but I don't expect to be significantly off of our original projection. And then the other area where there's a somewhat significant difference there is our other revenue. Right now we're only at 82% of what we projected. We're 116,000 less than our projection. The variance there is due to, again, with ODE, we have open enrollment this year and should be getting funded for that, but we're still being funded for our open enrollment based on fiscal year 15's headcount. So until they get our fiscal year 16 headcount in there, we're not getting our full funding. So the funding we're getting right now is based on 57,000 for the year, where that number should be closer to about $250,000 based on 43 students. So I'm definitely keeping an eye on that. And then once they get that settled, that number should turn upside down, basically. On the expenditure side, pretty much across the board, we're going so far below budget, below projections. On the salary side, it's interesting. We've been talking, probably the last two or three meetings, we've been talking about the benefits of all-day, everyday kindergarten. And that's actually one of the reasons, one of the main reasons we're below our projections. We started the year assuming we would have to hire 7 new staff to staff all day, everyday kindergarten. We also assumed we'd be hiring 2 new bus drivers and to start 2 new routes. Ended up only needing to hire, we were able to only hire 5 staff members. And when we make those assumptions, we pick a salary off the salary schedule and say, well, here's our assumption of where those teachers will be hired. On average, it actually came in a little bit less than what the projection was, so there was money savings there as well. And then we also were able to maintain the transportation without adding those two new drivers. So all said, just on the salary side, there was a savings of $160,000 based on our original projections for all day, everyday kindergarten costs. But as you see right now, we're at 99%, so 1% under budget, a little over $197,000. I anticipate that number will still grow, though, just due to attrition. We always assume a number for retiring staff and the new staff coming in at a lower salary, or staff that resigns, typically bringing in a salary, a person on a lower salary. So that there was a significant amount of retirements this year. So I do anticipate even that number to grow throughout the year. On the benefits side, significant savings there as well. Right now we're at 98% of projections, $96,000 savings. Again, that number should grow significantly. The majority of the savings up to this point of that $96,000, one of the big issues there we had with our dental insurance. We received a premium holiday in December, so the board did not have to pay a premium. So that saved us $47,000. And then also for December, the switch from fully insured to self-insured actually impacted us in December already, and will have a big impact for the rest of the year as well. So under the fully insured plan, we basically are, when we get our premium renewal, which it's always an increase, we had anticipated an 8% increase, and that would have kicked in with the December payments. But with going self-insured, we were able to maintain a 0% increase, keeping the same premiums. So for the month of December, I believe that was about a $70,000 savings. And then assuming claims, at maintain a steady level, the savings through the rest of the year through June could be over $400,000. So that benefits line, the savings should grow significantly there. The other lines below there with purchase services, supplies, the other expenditures, those are really driven by purchase orders. So sometimes, that can really fluctuate. I would say the purchase services line, we're seeing the main line items there where we're getting savings is in utilities, especially with electric. Currently, we're at $110,000 below budget on electric. And I'm anticipating that trend to continue. So I would anticipate that purchase service line to stay under budget. Supplies and materials, a big line item there that's currently under budget is our fuel for our school buses. So obviously with the good fuel prices right now, that's helping the bottom line. And then also, I think our principals and staff do a good job of, not spending money just to spend money. They buy what they need. And we've seen that in the past couple of years with that line, staying below budget a little bit. So again, I would anticipate that line would stay under budget as well. And then the other revenue, I'm sorry, other expenditures under budget by about $60,000 right now. There's really no one big item to point to, just multiple that are under by a little bit. Partly just timing. Some different things could come in that would offset that a little bit.
And then just a look. I won't run through the wording, but just kind of look at a high level, that we're presenting there. The first graph there is a comparison of revenue, monthly revenue, and the red line is our initial estimates, and the green lines being our actuals. And this kind of just shows the whole story real simple and from a real high level, because you can look and see August, we were way above our expectations. And that
that looks good, but then you can just come right over here and see in November, we were way below our expectations. So those were pretty much an offset, and that was entirely due to our tangible personal property tax reimbursement. We received it in August, when we anticipated we would receive it in November. So it was just a change by the Department of Taxation. And then also there in October, you can see where we had a little spike there and above our estimations. And there, that was where I mentioned our foundation revenue. We got a bump there, kind of a catch-up payment. So other than that, pretty much the lines have been in line with our expectations.
And just real quick, looking at the expenditures, pretty much every month, except with the exception of one, it's just pretty much been a steady trend of staying below budget. So that's all I have. Any questions?
You can share that kind of budget anytime.
Dick.
Okay. No questions? All right. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you.
Let's see. Next up, the board president's report. A few things here at our organizational meeting. We went ahead and scheduled three more dates for community coffees. So we were going to hold them in February, March, and April on the Saturday before our board meeting. They are held from 9 to 10 o'clock at the 5th Street Cafe here in Marysville. So those dates would be February 13th, March 12th, and April 9th. I know Brian and I attended the last one in December, so we'll need to figure out which two of us want to cover those. But I think we really enjoyed them and appreciate 5th Street Cafe being willing to host those coffees for us. Then I've recently sent out a couple of emails to you all about some opportunities for involvement in the district. Bunsold is hosting their science fair on February 10th, and last year they invited me to be a guest judge, and I participated and enjoyed it greatly. And I don't think I can make it this year, but I told her I would extend that invitation to all board members, and she was excited about, if anybody's interested. Her email address was in the email that I sent you, so just let her know as soon as possible. Sure. And then,
I just wanted to go back to the 5th Street. Do you want to assign the other three dates so we can get that off the table?
You mean assign who's going to be there?
Yeah. You could just go ahead and assign them
Fine. That's fine.
I'll take any.
Okay.
I'd just like to have it in advance.
Right. Okay. Well, would you mind covering the February one? I know you did. You did November and December, but
yeah, February is actually better for me than March.
Okay, good.
March, I know I'm not available.
Okay.
For that particular day.
So if you could be at the February one, and then somebody else.
I can do March.
Okay. You want to do March?
I can't do February. I'll be gone.
Okay.
So I'll do February with Brian.
Okay. So Ed and Brian in February, and then Ed, would you be willing to cover the March one then? Because we'd like to have that consistency.
Yeah, okay.
That might be a problem.
Well, I mean, we're hoping to be on during that time if
okay.
Susan gets moving.
Okay. Well, then we'll do. We can do Dick and Amy in March, and then I'll do April with either Dick or Amy. Is that okay?
Yeah, I can go ahead and say yes, and then because I don't think we're gone then. I think I missed one.
Okay.
February.
So February, Ed and Brian. March, Dick and Amy. And April, Sue and Amy.
Uh-huh.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
9 o'clock at the 5th Street Cafe, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. 9 to 10.
And what did you say the date was on the science fair at Baldwin?
The science fair is February 10th. And then the other event was the Creekview Business Fair, and that's on March 18th. And Emily Latham is the contact for that. It was Morgan Gutenberg for the science fair. And it just kind of reminded me when you were asking the time about the community coffees, just kind of a reminder to all of us that it's an opportunity for community members to share comments, concerns. It's not a place for people to come in, complain about a specific issue, teacher, program, something like that. You know, I mean, if there are concerns about that, then we can direct them to the right people.
Right.
But just want to make sure that everybody's comfortable with that. Let's see, then. Dick was there as well yesterday. The Chamber of Commerce had their annual meeting, and we had some really interesting presentations, including an update on the Young Entrepreneurs Academy that is being held at our own Early College High School. There are 20 students involved there, and they're working on kind of a business plan in a Shark Tank-like format, and it's a 30-week program. They finished the first 10 weeks, which was brainstorming business plans. Now, this current 10 weeks, they're actually developing their business plans, and then at the beginning of the last 10 weeks, they're going to bring in a panel of investors, and all of the groups will have a 5-minute Shark Tank-like presentation to the investors with a real business plan. So it's pretty exciting.
One of the things also is there's money to fund those.
Yes. Real investors.
Real investors, real money.
Right.
Right.
I mean, the goal is to teach them about entrepreneurialism and hopefully get them to stay here in our area and bring some new businesses. So that was nice. We also heard about the updates on the 270-33 interchange, the proposed light rail between Columbus and Chicago, and I heard from somebody from Columbus 2020 and also MORPC. But what stood out to me was this common theme about the importance of collaboration and planning, and how many of the speakers recognized Union County as being a best practice example. So, again, you know, for all of us who we live here and we're just used to it, no big deal, but when you hear people coming in from outside and making those comments over and over and over, I think it's important to let people know that. And then finally, our new city administrator, Mr. Terry Emery, was there, and he purposefully came up to me and just commented about how much he wants to continue the great partnership that the city has with our school district, and said, if we ever need anything, don't be afraid to ask him. So I thought that was nice. Then a reminder that there is the OSBA board officer training on February 6th. So, again, if anybody's interested in attending that, it's usually, I think, like a 9-to-2 type of a training. And it used to be called board presidents, but now it's just board officer. And it's a good thing for any board member to attend, and great networking opportunity, a lot of good sharing of issues in different districts and how people handle them. And so I would recommend going to that if you have a chance. I think that's it for the board president's report. And the High Point report, Honda was supposed to meet today. They continue to try and come up with a name for our board representative for High Point, and Caroline Ramsey has, I don't know if I could say promised me, but said that that they will have a name by the end of the month. So hopefully we'll get that name and be able to have a Marysville representative there soon. Legislative report, Mr. Smith.
Hi there. In the state legislature is the point where most of the legislation is before committee, and they're holding hearings and the like. There's not a whole lot that's going on. I did read in the news today, or see in the news today, that there was an article about some school boards sending bills to the state for their loss to charter schools. The situation that we have is that the state, for each student who goes to a charter school, the state withdraws more money than what we receive. Mm-hmm. And so we have some local tax dollars that are headed out of town. And so that's, you know, that's an issue that's out there. I thought that was kind of interesting that some were sending bills to the state and not expecting to recover anything, but trying to make a point. And there was also an article, federal government was looking at easing the food requirements in schools, some of the standards a little bit allow I think it would reduce the whole grains and add a little salt or something like that, so it'd be a little easier to manage and use. So that's my report.
Okay.
I think it's interesting you brought that up about the charter school thing, because I get emails from Ohio ENA, and I'm sure you've seen them too. And you know, they really are basically saying that this is turning into a national kind of a conversation, because, again, and I think it's kind of, I think it would be good as a board to talk about the whole, the different, what are our views on charter schools. Because I know Ms. Mankins and I have talked about it before, and, you know, I personally think that it's good to have a choice, but they need to be held to the same standards that we're held to.
Right.
And the funding model, I think, needs to be a little more fair.
Right. And there have been some recent legislation this fall that we've talked about where there have been some changes, and charter schools are going to have to be held more accountable. The state auditor went in and counted heads and found empty seats where there should have been students, and so they've uncovered a number of issues and a number of problems that would lead me to believe that there needs to be greater accountability and greater oversight, you know, for that. And I know that there are a lot of people that say, you know, charter schools are here to stay, that the state needs to look at separate funding, specific funding for the charter schools, and not, as I see it, in essence, penalize our local taxpayers.
Right. I agree. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Ms. Powers, Safety and Drug Committee report.
Okay, we won't have our meeting until in February. That's when our next meeting is.
Okay.
So don't have anything there with the coalition. I did re-up today. They sent me out paperwork to stay on the board for another year.
Great.
So I re-upped today, and so I'll have something to report in February.
Thank you very much. Good. All right. Next, I need an approval I need a motion to approve the minutes from our prior meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith and second by Ms. Powers. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. So the motion carries. And next up, we need a motion to approve the renewal of the Hope Center lease.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Pleasant.
Second
by Mr. Smith. Any questions on this conversation? Oh, I mean, you want to, sure, whatever, if you want to update us on anything or
well,
pretty much the same.
I can update you just as far as what is posted, and what you're looking at is pretty much an identical lease to what they had last year. Just had to change some dates and that kind of thing. The only real significant change was to do with the security deposit, based on the compared to what the previous security deposit was. The rent amount has changed, so what I put in there is, I guess, a starting point. Was a security deposit equal to 1 month's rent?
Right.
So I would say that's a recommendation, but maybe a starting point for discussion. Or,
I mean, I think that's a realistic security deposit. That's pretty typical, I would say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Roll call.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Okay, item 10, we need a motion to approve the treasure items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Pleasant. Any questions, or did you want to?
Really nothing out of the ordinary in the treasurer's report, so unless there's any questions.
No questions. Okay, roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next up, we have need a motion to approve a resolution to issue a last chance agreement and suspension without pay.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Pleasant. Any questions, comments? No.
No, in essence, this would just, you guys have to pass the resolution in order to suspend a bus driver without pay for 2 weeks and enter into a last chance agreement with that employee.
Okay. All right. Okay. If there are no questions, then roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And next we have the superintendent items. So we need a motion to recommend to approve all of the superintendent items.
So move.
Motion by Mr. Pleasant.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Anything you'd like to share?
Sure. I wanted to draw your attention, just a reminder, earlier in this school year, we passed a resolution for a waiver to be submitted to Ohio Department of Education to cover our occupational therapist positions for this current school year. We were under the wrong model for a staff member to student ratio. We were going under the clinical model, and we should have been going over into the education model, and those are two different ratios. So in order to prepare us to get on track for next year, we will no longer need the occupational aides that we currently have employed. That's why the RIF notice is on the agenda. And then we will be employing another occupational therapist that will bring us into guidelines for the state. So the waiver was really only a one-year commitment, and everyone is made aware earlier in the year that this would be taking place. So no surprises.
Okay.
I think we also have volunteers on this one. We also have a couple. We have a resignation that's pending a replacement. So the person left mid-year as a teacher. We made it clear that we would not be honoring that resignation until we found a suitable replacement. And so that's why that wording is a little bit different on that one. Other than that, you should have spring coaches, I believe, as well.
Mm-hmm. And we have a bunch of first read on policy changes.
Yes, that wasn't that far yet.
Okay,
yes,
sorry.
Yes, we have a big chunk of policy changes as well. I know Mr. Smith and Mr. Langhouse sit on that committee as well. Mm-hmm.
And I know,
if you have any questions on that. I know.
Yeah,
you sent
I had sent a few questions to Mr. Langhouse. There were a lot of revisions to some transportation policies, and generally the intent was to follow legislation and just kind of clarify a few things.
Most of what we're doing now just is bringing us into compliance type pieces. Things have changed, or to change some language so we're in compliance with.
Right.
New laws.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we always do two reads, just as a reminder, so it gives you a chance to look through them. And if you have any questions, then feel free to contact Mr. Langhouse.
Let me mention once again that you spent over 4 hours.
Yes.
going over all of this, and so there was a lot of time, a lot of discussion. I know that some things went back for review and reconsideration, gathered more information. So I've been very impressed with the process that all these policies go through before they come before us.
And I appreciate all the time it's spent too. So thank you.
So when you were going over the transportation items, was that mostly due to legislative mandate, or were you also bringing into account some of the discussions we've been having the last year or so about transportation issues?
Transportation, those specific policies were mainly due to ORC updates. So a lot of it was state-required updates. Some of it was just verbiage cleanup to be more 2015.
also recommended from our policy group that we utilize as well. Mm-hmm. So the vast majority, though, definitely dealt with just ORC updates. Mm-hmm. Nothing necessarily related to what's
Well, just to make you feel better, it took me about 4 hours to read through them all.
I know. It does take a while, doesn't it?
I'm kidding. I didn't. Yeah.
Okay.
It was a big month.
Yeah.
No, I can remember we were sitting there and looking at, do we need these words? Is it clear mm-hmm. what this means? Because there were some areas where things were very subjective and meanings were not as precise as needed. So some of the changes in language would simply address those kinds of things.
Just made it a little bit more reader friendly.
Right.
Hopefully.
Right.
Hopefully.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, roll call.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And now we are up to comments and questions from board members. So I'm going to start with Mr. Pleasant.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you. Mrs. Wells, thank you very much for your hospitality. I thought the information was very good. Bob, thanks for your offer. I think that's a good offer. So, other than that, stay warm.
Okay. Mr. Smith?
Friday night, tomorrow night, Hall of Fame dinner. It's recognizing two people from our community that have provided yeoman service, clearly above and beyond, helping young men and women grow and develop. I'd like to compliment the paper. I thought that the articles about those two individuals were outstanding. Clearly gave an indication of the breadth and involvement of these people in terms of our community and their commitment to the young men and women in the school. So, if you have an opportunity to come tomorrow, stand and recognize these individuals, that would be a wonderful thing.
They are introduced in between the JV and varsity basketball games, so just people, just so they know. And our own Mr. Kevin Brandfast, I think, does the announcing, right? MCing. Ms. Power?
Thank you for hosting tonight. It was great. And that's it.
It's been great.
Well, I was able to go to that meeting I mentioned last month, which is the executive committee of the central region of the OSBA, and I was very pleased I was able to join that group. I was happy that it wasn't a bunch of bureaucratic nonsense like I was mm-hmm. afraid of. There were actually a lot of substantive discussions and met a lot of people from around the area who are very, very aware and concerned about what's happening with public education. When I introduced myself, being from Marysville, a number of them said, oh, that's where the TPP
right,
and, said,
right.
And I'm like, how do you know that?
Yeah.
Because
right.
they're keeping up with what's going on in education, right. And that's what I hope for with this yeah. group. And the charter schools that you mentioned is one of the issues. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons I wanted to get involved with the OSBA, because mm-hmm. they're on top of that. And I agree that choice is good, mm-hmm. but, and this is me speaking, not this committee, a charter school shouldn't be started unless it has a real educational value,
exactly.
not just to,
right.
Turn education into a profit-making or mm-hmm. find an end run around teachers' unions or something like that. It has mm-hmm. to have, and it's not always easy to see that. Mm-hmm. So we need people who are paying attention to that, and that's one of the reasons I'm glad that you're on the legislative end. Those of us who are concerned about public education need to be paying attention to the big picture.
Right.
So that I was encouraged by being part of that group in January.
Great.
I don't think I have any other updates.
Okay. Mr. Johnson?
Nothing to add.
Okay. Ms. Mankins?
I don't think so.
Okay. Let's see. I just also wanted to thank you, Mrs. Wells. Appreciate your presentation and all the great information. I know you had at our organizational meeting, you would remind us that tomorrow's the Hall of Fame, and then Saturday is the show choir showcase, and that goes on all day out at the high school. If you've never attended one of those, it's really interesting, a lot of fun, a lot of great entertainment going on. We did some mid-year reviews today, and we had talked about doing a little bit of board reviews and kind of, so I looked through our goals before I came tonight and really felt, I mean, if you guys have a chance, look through them, but I feel like we are right on track. But I know there were a couple areas that we've talked about as far as attending extracurricular events and how we've talked about trying to set up some kind of a Google Calendar, and I haven't really been able to do it. So if anybody would be interested in kind of taking that over, give it some thought. And I think that Chris Dice would be, I'm sure Ed's the one to do it, right?
Did you say any one of us?
Any one of us board members would like to kind of take charge of maybe creating looking into this idea of coming up with a calendar. I mean, the reality is we're stretched thin just like everyone else. But
it's going to do on paper, but not
right. Not in the Google.
Is that the sort of thing that we could call Chris and talk
Absolutely.
To him about? Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want me to?
If you want to look into it, yeah. Sure.
Let me give him a call because I'm not. I don't know how to design.
Right.
I barely know how to use it.
See, we need to be educating ourselves too on Google Docs. Yeah, just stop it. Right, exactly.
Or just talk to my daughter, who will humiliate me about how little I know.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I'll call Chris and just see if we can move on that a little bit. Is that okay?
Right. And I mean, I know. We try to attend what we can.
Right.
You know. So I think that's good. But it's kind of stretching us a little bit too, as far as technology goes. So, yeah. Other than that, yeah, I mean, I was kind of pleased with the kind of, I think we are supporting all the things that we need to be supporting, and there's great work being done in the district, and I know over Christmas break there were several articles in the newspaper that I was really proud of what's going on in our district, from students to staff to just the general direction and the community partnerships, and so I know I say it a lot, but it's really an honor to serve on this board, so.
Yeah.
That's enough blabbing for me. How about a motion to adjourn?
Hello.
Did you second it?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Roll call.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. The meeting is adjourned at